Isaiah chapter 42, let's begin tonight in verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Wow, that's a beautiful picture of the heart of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ and his heart for hurting and struggling people. The Hebrew language is a very poetic language. It is picture language. They spoke in symbols and pictures. And again, it was very poetic, the original language. The Greek is not like the Hebrew. The Greek is very scientific and precise. But when you read the Old Testament that was in Hebrew, you got to realize it's picture language. And we have here in picture language the Father's heart for the Son, the servant of the Lord, and how that the Son will come. The servant of the Lord will come, and he specifically describes two categories of people that the Lord will not mishandle, that the Lord will not discard, but that the Lord would have mercy on. He said, those that were a bruised reed, he would not break you. And those that were a smoking flax, he would not quench or extinguish your light. Again, those are two kinds of people, and yet those are the two very kinds of people that the church world at large has rejected today. They are disdained by the religious systems at large today, and yet the heart of the Father is not changed. He cares for hurting people. He cares for the downtrodden. He cares for the broken and the bruised. He cares for the poor. He cares for those that are despised by, again, those of esteem, even in society. We serve a loving, caring, compassionate God, and he desires to raise up a church that is a loving, caring, compassionate church. Amen? Amen. The admonishment here is to behold the servant of the Lord. Behold the servant of the Lord. The word behold means to take a long, hard look at. It means to gaze at versus just glance at. The word itself, beheld, beheld, means to be held by. When you behold something, you don't just glance at it. When you behold something, you're captivated by it. Those that have been a bruised reed, those that have become a smoking flax, they must behold or be held by the servant of the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about these two kinds of people here in an introductory form, because God is calling us to reach out to these kind of people. You may be one of these kinds of people here tonight, and God wants to minister to you. The Lord wants to touch you and minister to you, and then the Lord wants to make you whole so he can send you out to others that are hurting and help mend there. Brokenness. The bruised reed. The picture here is that of the Hebrew children that would go by the banks of the Jordan or any kind of a river or lake or pond or things of that nature. And there would be these reeds that are growing beside the water's edge. And the children, the Hebrew children, would pull these reeds up and they would begin to cut them up and hone them and whittle on them and turn them into windpipes, or, if you will, musical instruments. And in the process of pulling up the reeds by the riverbank, many times they'd break them and bruise them. And now that one right there won't work. It's not going to be able to be used to make beautiful music. So they would just cast it aside. And after a while, in pulling some up, they would mess them up. Pulling them up, in honing them, they would mess them up. So they'd wind up walking on some of these reeds and continue to bruise them, cast them away. Religion today, mainstream Christianity, unfortunately today, doesn't want those that have been bruised, doesn't want those that have been damaged, doesn't want to have as a part of their systems, their organizations, as a part of their church, people that are hurting, people that have been bruised, people that have been broken. We have seen a move in the American church today of a mentality of the select elect mentality. We want the bankers. We want those that don't have any problems. We want the low maintenance people. If you go to most churches and you've been bruised, You've been broken. You've got some problems and some hurts and some pains. They really don't want you to come back because you're high maintenance. Can I get a witness that God will not cast you off, that God will not cast you out, that God's original plan to make you the praise of His glory, to make your life a symphony of praise and worship of His life working in you, that He will not give up on you if you've been hurt. He will not give up on you if you've been broken. He will not give up on you if you've been bruised. He will not cast you aside or cast you away or trod you underfoot. He'll pick you up and restore you. Amen? Amen. Well, now, if the Lord is that way, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? We have a tendency to go to church, and after a while, again, we want to stay away from people that are bruised reeds. And God's not that way. God sent His servant to heal those that have been bruised, those that have been broken, to mend them, to repair them, to restore them. And we got to guard our hearts, dear ones, in this area. And we got to be careful not to become so religious and so organized and so structured that people that are hurting that come are an embarrassment to us. That's the world we live in most religious systems, and we should not want any part nor lot in that kind of mentality, but we should expect people to come through the door that are hurting. We should expect people to come to get help, to come to get ministered to, and not push those people aside, but realize that the power of Jesus is such, and that if we can get that anointing for the brokenhearted on us that Jesus had on Him, we can recover people, we can restore people, and we can see a life that is just full of pain and crying and hurt and making sounds of agony. We can see by the power of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, God can reshape, God can restore, God can mend, and God can make them now whole again and a praise of His glory, a symphony of His goodness again. And we can have a hand in that with the servant of the Lord if we can get Jesus to people instead of running people from Jesus. Amen? All right. That's the first category of people described here, and you may not fit that now, but life is tough. Can I get a witness? Amen. Things happen to good people that we don't understand. Tragedy strikes many times, and we don't have an answer for it. People get broken through divorce. People get broken many times, bruised deeply from the loss of a loved one, a child killed in an accident, a spouse going home prematurely that brings great grief and pain in the heart. And we've got to realize that the church is not a courtroom. I'm not a judge. You're not the jury, and the deacons are not the hangman. People don't need to come to be beat up and damaged any further. They need to come and find the mercy of the Lord. They need to come and find the power and the anointing of the Lord to recover them. And I want to be a part of a people that know the servant of the Lord and have beheld Him enough to get my own heart healed from my brokenness and from life's challenges, but get the anointing of the Lord working in my life to a point that I can help those that have been bruised and broken. And I believe you do too. That's what we're here for. We are a hospital. We are a school. We're here to bring healing to the hurting. We are not the whole that doesn't need a physician. We are those that are hurting for certain. Some of you, I mean, really pitiful. You're bad off, okay? But you but you are welcome to come and to sit and be healed, be made whole by the power of God. By the power of God. Now, the second group that he spoke of is a smoking flax. A smoking flax. The idea here is that of a lantern, and the lady of the house was responsible for the wick in the lantern. They would have oil in a type of a lantern, and the wick would be soaked with oil, and they would light the wick to bring light to the house. And that was the purpose of the wick, was to illuminate the room, lighten up the room. And it was primarily the lady of the house's responsibility to keep the lantern filled with oil so that the wick would burn. But occasionally she would get busy. She would be doing the work of the day and get caught up and probably watching soap operas or something like that she shouldn't have been doing. And time would pass and the oil would run out, and the wick that was ablaze and a fire lighting and illuminating the room would begin to be quenched, and it would begin to smolder, and it would fill the house with a stench, and the lady of the house would begin to smell, uh-oh, something's wrong. The wick has gone out, and it's smoldering and filling the house with a stench. So rather than take the time to fill the lantern with oil and relight the wick, she would just pull the wick and throw it out the window. Throw it out the window. How many of you know God's ultimate plan for us all, God's divine design and purpose for all of our lives, is to be the light of the world? And we are to be ablaze for Jesus. We are to be on fire with the things of the Lord and a passion for Jesus. But can I get a witness for many of us being more than a conqueror, what and all it was cracked up to be? Being a world overcomer had more challenges than I thought. A blaze for Jesus and being on fire for Jesus went well for a while, but there's people all around me trying to put my fire out. And I've discovered that there are things that I've been through in my life where I lost my passion. I lost that fire, that zeal. And rather than illuminating the world and the room with light and life, I began to murmur and complain and bellyache. You know, if you don't stay focused and behold the servant of the Lord, you can actually get caught up in church. You can get caught up in religion. You can get caught up in programs. You can get caught up in all these things that'll kill your zeal for God. They'll kill your passion. It'll put your fire out. And before you know it, you're filling up the house with a stench of murmuring and complaining. Have you met any of these people? This one is the challenge for me. Sometimes I just want to throw them people out the window, amen? Now, I'm not talking about people that are immature and have no desire to grow and they just bellyache about everything and complain and murmur. They don't have a thankful heart. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those of us who lost focus. Those of us that got involved in the work of God many times but forgot to wait on God. Forgot to wait on God. And we lost that zeal. We lost that passion. And before you know it, instead of being a light, we're a smoldering wick that people see us coming and they dodge us. They see us coming and they jump into storefronts. And we know that they're avoiding us because they ain't got no money. Yeah. Amen. You ever been that way? You see people coming and it's like, oh no. I don't want to talk to them because all they're going to do is complain about the economy. All they're going to do is run their spouses down. All they're going to do is criticize the church. And so we tend to avoid those people. You know, people that are broken and bruised can be a challenge to minister to. People that are a smoking flax can be a real challenge to minister to. But if we don't stay at the feet of Jesus like I taught you last time I shared here at the outreach, then we can lose focus. And what we really want in our Christianity now is to be comfortable. What we really want is to be at ease in Zion. And what we really want is no problems. And what we really want is no challenges. And what we really want is we want to go to a church where everybody's functional and where everybody's on fire and where everybody's ablaze for Jesus. But can I get a witness, as long as we're leading people to the Lord and as long as we're reaching out and doing the Lord's work in the earth, we're always going to have babies among us. We're always going to have the bruised and broken among us. And we're always going to have those that this wasn't quite what they thought. They got on fire and decided to be a care pastor and found out that people are mean. Are you with me? I'm telling you, you are going to face in your Christian walk both of these challenges, and you're going to run into people habitually that are in these two categories. And if you don't guard your heart and you don't realize what we're here for and what it's all about, you can tend to start to avoid the hurting and the downtrodden and avoid the murmurers and the complainers and try to build you a little world that's just, bless me, oh God, us four and no more. Go to Luke chapter 4. Ministry is a sacrifice. Loving people's not easy, or more people would do it. Yes. Amen? Amen? Reaching out to hurting people's not fun. It's not fun. And yet it's rewarding in God and fulfilling in the kingdom. In the kingdom. Let's look at some of the first words that Jesus spoke when he came into his ministry. When he came into his destiny and began to fulfill Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. In Luke chapter 4, look at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And that's when they got mad. That's when they got mad. You know, it's amazing. You can go to church and if people talk about what God used to do, everybody's all right. And if you talk about what God one day is going to do, everybody's all right. But if you dare come to church and say, "Oh, by the way, God is alive, and he's the great I am, not the great I was, and not the great I'm going to be, but he's the great I am. He's alive now, today, and this day, the word of God can be fulfilled in your ears." Now we got to do something. Now we got to expect something. And people don't like that. They get upset. They got upset at him at this point. These scriptures had been read multitudes of times, but as long as they were waiting on Messiah to come, good preaching, little preacher. But when it went from one day he's going to come to today is the day, that's when it's serious. Just like you can talk about healing, but if you start healing the sick, that's when people get upset. You can start talking about the fullness of the Spirit, but when people get filled with the Spirit, that's when they get upset. Well, we need to see here that Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. To the poor. Do you know, we can get so caught up in vision and so caught up in dreams and our needs that we can start to target those with means and be looking for those with means instead of realizing one of the first things the man said is this gospel is to be preached to the poor. We're supposed to be reaching out to the poor. And the good news is you ain't got to be poor no more. It's not good news just to tell them they're poor and going to stay poor. But if you tell the poor, you ain't got to be poor no more, then some people get upset about that. But God is a God that prospers. And his economy, when cooperated with and when faith is worked in your heart and released in your life, you can get out of poverty. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Well, Jesus said we'd have the poor with us always. Yeah, because some people are dumb. Some people aren't going to listen. They're not going to do what it takes to get out of poverty. They're not going to change their minds. They're not going to cooperate with God's economy. And they're going to be with us forever. And we're still supposed to reach out to those people and minister to those people. The second thing that he said after that he's going to preach to the poor is he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus had an anointing on him to heal them that were broken, smashed, bruised, deeply in heart. Now, I want you to write this down because this is controversial, unfortunately, and it shouldn't be. It doesn't have to be. But write down broken and then hearted, two words, broken hearted. We've got to break those two words down to know what Jesus came to do so we can, in his name, continue his ministry on the earth. Because you are the body of Christ on the earth today, amen? Amen. We are his body. We are the anointed body of the Lord on the earth, and we're supposed to be preaching the gospel to the poor. We're supposed to be bringing healing to the brokenhearted. So who are these people he's talking about? The word broken in the Strong's Concordance in the back of the book is 4937. It means to crush completely. It means to shatter to pieces. It means to bruise deeply. Now I want you to understand that. He says to crush completely, to shatter to pieces, to wound or to bruise deeply. We're not talking about somebody oversensitive here. We're not talking about someone easily offended here. We're talking about somebody that's lost a loved one and they're smashed, deep, broken of heart. Somebody that's been molested. Somebody that's been raped. Somebody that's been through a divorce. Somebody that's lost a loved one, like I said in my introduction. We're not talking about touchy feelings that people have, and Jesus came to heal you and be merciful to you about that. I tell you, when you study the man's life, he said some things that would not fly, and he would be voted out of most churches today because he was hard.
Yes.
He called people snakes and vipers.
Yes.
Tombstones.
Yes.
Whitewashed full of dead men's bones.
Yes.
He said some things, saints, that, I mean, you can't say and get away with it today. Everybody would be offended. Everybody's feelings would be hurt. He's not talking about that kind of stuff. He's not talking about somebody, well, I'm just broken of heart. That preacher just broke my heart. Did you hear what he said about child raising? Did you hear what he said about being a single mama? He just broke my heart. Jesus did not come to heal you of that. If he could, he'd kick you in the butt and straighten you out and straighten you up so you can grow up. That's just being immature. That's just being oversensitive. That's not what this is talking about. Some people all the time say, well, that church just hurt me down there. And when you investigate, these people are self-destructive. It wouldn't have mattered where they would have went, they would have took offense. It wouldn't have mattered what atmosphere they were in, they would have got hurt because they want to get hurt. They choose to get hurt. That's not what this is talking about. I need to say that lest all of you come back next week whining and expecting me to be merciful. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to work. No, no. There's sometimes like a father to a son, a father to a daughter, you need somebody to jerk the slack right out of you and say, come on now, you got to get over that. Come on now, you got to straighten up and fly right. You're doing good over here, but you got to stop that. When that just broke my heart, he rebuked me. Don't meet the Lord. Can't you just hear the seven churches in the book of Revelation saying, Jesus broke my heart. He said he had aught against me. Are you with me? We need to settle this now so that we focus on what we're talking about here. We're talking about people that have been damaged by life, and on the highway of life, things happen that devastate us deeply inside. Inside. Not this touchy, politically correct atmosphere where people are just offended if you say this and offended if you say that, and you can't even talk anymore without people getting their feelings all hurt. And people I have found come to church with their feelings on their shoulder, and they dare you to knock their feelings off their shoulder. I just dare you to make me mad, preacher. Amen. You know, I just want to go ahead, make my day. We got to grow out of that. That's immaturity. That's the flesh. Amen? That's children that want to remain children and be pampered and coddled in their immaturity and in their whining spirit. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about somebody that's been crushed completely. This is talking about somebody that's been smashed to pieces in their heart. In their heart. Now, the word hearted is the number 2588 in the back of the Strong's Concordance. 2588. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. That's why I don't try to impress you with the words. I tell you where I got it, so you can go check it out on your own. I even give you the number in the back of the Strong's Concordance. It's 2588. It means the thoughts, mind, and feelings. Thoughts, mind, and feelings. We get crushed sometimes in life, in our thoughts, our mind, our feelings, or our emotions. Our emotions, because life is tough. You know, I'm convinced that life would be tough if there wasn't even a devil. How much more with a devil? And worse yet, people. There's people out there. And some people are meaner than the devil. That's the truth. And so we get hurt in heart. Now, write down Hebrews 4:12. It defines the heart. Hebrews 4:12 defines the heart as the soul and the spirit. In the charismatic move today, we have erroneously assumed that the heart always means spirit in the Bible, and it doesn't always mean spirit in the Bible. There are some places in the context it means your spirit. Most of the places in the Bible, your heart is referring to your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Jesus said our problems are coming out of our heart. He said it's not what a man eats that defiles him. It's not what he takes in, but it's what's coming out of his heart. That's what's defiling him. And then he named all these things that come out of our heart. And if you look that up in Mark chapter 7, you'll find that you've had some of them things in your life. And in my life, since I got saved, it didn't come out of my spirit. It came out of my soul. The unrenewed part of me that has to be renewed by the Word of God. By the Word of God. And so when he says, I came to heal the brokenhearted, He came to heal those that had been crushed completely, shattered to pieces, bruised and wounded deeply in their minds, in their emotions, and even sometimes in their will. I've seen people's will broken by a crisis, a tragedy, a hurt by somebody in the church, a mishandling of a pastor. You know, I've done this a long time now, and I can truthfully say before God Almighty, before this great congregation, that I have never purposely willed to hurt anybody, maliciously intended to hurt anybody, or willfully mishandled anybody. My heart, I go overboard not to mishandle you. I know I say things publicly kind of blunt sometimes, but I'm in a hurry. It's part of my humor. You know my heart. I'm just trying to nail it and get it over with. Let's just quit dancing around it and go on. But in my personal life, I go out of my way not to hurt, not to harm, not to mishandle. And yet, over the years, there's no doubt in my mind, I mishandled people. I didn't want to, didn't mean to, but I messed up. Have you ever messed up in relationships? Anybody besides me? Save for one thing? I think we all mishandle people at times. And so I'm sure I hurt them. I pray that they find forgiveness in their heart and that they get healed of that, because if they let me or anybody else hurt them, truly hurt them deeply, there's repercussions that come into our life from a broken heart that are incredible, that if you don't deal with brokenness, if you don't deal with your heart and brokenness of heart, you can have some consequences unbeknown to you, the source, 15, 20, 25 years down the road in your life. And so you got to forgive people if they hurt you, if they harm you, if they betray you. Am I the only one that's been betrayed before? It's the people that I've sat down to meet with. Jesus talked about it was the people at the table. The scriptures talk about it's the table. He cut covenant with people that hurt him. Who's the guy that betrayed the Lord? Judas. That's what I said. Judas. What if y'all don't know when I'm testing you, do you? This guy ate with him. This guy ministered with him. This guy saw miracles. This guy betrayed him with a kiss. I'm going to show you in some sessions down the road. That broke the Lord's heart. The Lord knows what a broken heart is. The Bible says in Psalms, I believe it's 134, that the Lord is nigh them of a broken heart. See, religion avoids brokenhearted people. Religion don't want to mess with brokenhearted people because they're high maintenance. Religion is serving themselves, and you with a broken heart cannot contribute to my success. So we push the brokenhearted away in most of our religious circles. But see, God's not that way. Jesus is not that way. He is nigh the broken of heart. He's nigh the broken of heart. All right, now, I want you to think about this. This is so simple, and yet, because a lot of people haven't thought about it, it's profound in its application. Please don't miss the simplicity of this. Think with me for a minute. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, now, please don't laugh at this. Listen to me. When Jesus was on the earth, can I get a witness that he, in and of himself, was the body of Christ? He was the body of Christ. So see, he had the Spirit on him without measure. In Hebrews chapter 10, Jesus, speaking of himself, he said, a body hast thou made for me. And then he talks about how God did not delight in offerings and sacrifices, but that he came, Jesus came, and it was written in the volume of the book to do God's will. So God prepared a body for the Son who was in the beginning to enter humanity to do the will of God. Amen? Jesus was God made flesh, incarnation, God becoming a man, and the Spirit of God was on that body, his physical body, to preach the gospel, and he did it with power, and to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that were bruised, to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to see. We, the church, are the body of Christ, but not one body, many members. And that's why we individually have the Spirit with measure. Are you with me so far? When a body of believers comes together and they realize, A, they are not the kingdom of God, they are vessels in the kingdom of God. The church is not the kingdom of God, the church is a vessel, a vehicle to bring people into the kingdom of God. When we begin to see these things and we realize who we are and that together in unity, we come together as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit on this body, if we walk in the unity of the Spirit until we come into the unity of the faith, we can be anointed as a body, as a vehicle, as a church, to preach the gospel with power. And listen, everybody that comes in that's a bruised reed and a smoking flax, there can be an anointing on us collectively together to bring them out of that quickly and prepare them to help the next person come out of those two conditions. Amen? That's what we're here for. That's our purpose. That's our ministry. We're not here to feel good, though I like coming because I feel good. I kind of like hearing me. I encourage me in the Lord. Amen. You got it. You got to listen. You know, I'm joking. I'm trying to make a point. And if I can't stand hearing me, why would I expect you to stand hearing me? That's the point. I believe if I'm speaking the truth and it's coming out of my heart, it's equipping you, it's encouraging you, and it's preparing you to get restored if you're broken or smoking. Do I need to qualify that? Let's go back. I don't trust some of you. So I heard the man. We can keep on smoking. He sounds better about halfway through the message. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a bruised reed and a smoking flax. Some of you might qualify for that too. Hallelujah. Everybody with me? Amen? Amen. Bottom line is, we get so mixed up in our head about church and what it's for, we wind up breaking people inside of here and dashing their focus and zeal for Jesus, where the whole church becomes a bruised reed and a smoking flax. And I've been to those churches where, I mean, 80% of everybody in there is broken and bruised, with no anointing to get them healed and no love to get them restored. And 80 or 90% of them are just a smoking flax, just no thankful heart, no joy, no passion for Jesus. That's not God's plan. That's not God's will. That's not what this body of believers has been birthed, anointed, and appointed by God to do. This body of believers has been anointed and appointed by God to be an extension of the ministry of Jesus in the earth. Yes. In the earth. We got to understand this stuff and get made whole and then go out and bring health and wholeness to all those around us. Yes. All right, real quick, go to Proverbs chapter 4. This is very familiar, so I won't spend long on it. But I want to lay a foundation and I'm going to build next week from here. Your heart and the condition of your heart. Let me back up again. I'm the one preaching and teaching this stuff, and so I ought to know what I'm talking about, and yet I am growing and being expanded from the Word of God in my own heart about the power of the condition and well-being of my heart. When my heart gets messed up, it is amazing how much of the rest of my life it affects. I did some praying about this again today and yesterday, and I just was going through the Proverbs again, trying to refresh myself and renew myself in some things. And I begin to see, and I'll teach you this next week. I'll definitely show you all these passages next week. But I begin to see about how our health is directly related to the condition of our hearts. You cannot be healthy. You cannot ward off disease and sickness if your heart's messed up. There's a way that God designed you. There's a way that God made you. And He built you. And there's a way your system is to function. And when it is aligned properly to God and His Word, I'm telling you, it's health to your flesh. When you and your person are not aligned properly to God and your fellow man, and your heart's all out of whack, it's amazing how much the Word of God says about your health and the collapse of your health. You cannot carry brokenness of heart and have a functional life. God wants to make us whole. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Notice the Word of God has to be kept in the midst of your heart. Now, doesn't it go without saying that for me to say keep the Word in your heart, that it's possible for it to escape your heart?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
See, a lot of times we think, well, I know this, I've heard this, I've read this. You'd be surprised how much of the Word of God gets in your heart, begins to affect your life, but then escapes your heart.
Amen.
Look at verse 21. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh.
Amen.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So see, out of my heart come the issues of my life. Now, in America today and with the rise of psychology and sociology, man is into so much behavior modification and issue oriented that he attacks the issues of people's lives instead of knowing root causes and going back to the root. God takes the axe to the root of problems in our lives. He doesn't deal with the superficial. Many times the problem you think you have is a smoke screen of a deeper issue of your heart.
Yes.
Did y'all really get that?
Yes.
You really did?
Yes.
Well, we've grown a lot. See, a lot of people are alcoholics, but alcohol's not their problem.
Yes.
There's something wrong in their heart, and the issue of their life, alcoholism's coming out of their heart. Something's wrong with their heart. Most people messed up on drugs today. Drugs really is not their problem. And we can attack drugs and we can take them through drug rehabilitation. We can lock them up. We can put them in a straitjacket. And we can get them off drugs if they don't die from drying out.
That's right.
But can I get a witness? As soon as you take the straitjacket off, if something hasn't changed in their heart, they're going to be back on drugs again. Sexual immorality is not the problem. It's a smokescreen. There's something wrong in somebody's heart. And unless we go to the heart and the root in the heart, and only the Word and the Word only can do that, you're not going to get true freedom and deliverance. You're just going to cover symptoms up. And I fear for the church at large. So many of God's people are living a superficial existence and life with God, and they got the outer part conformed. They've got constraints and disciplines in their life, but something's still deep wrong in their heart. And I'm just acutely aware of this, and I've trained myself and disciplined myself. Okay, here's an issue in my life. I immediately go, that's a smokescreen. Something's wrong in here somewhere. Something's wrong. The bad issues start in my heart. Listen, the good issues start in your heart. See, you're not going to see good issues in your life till you change your heart, till you change your mind. So you take God's Word and submit your man, your heart, to God's Word. And put God's Word in your heart and get your heart in God's Word. And see, the world don't want to go there. See, we come up with all kinds of programs, but we don't want to talk about God. See, man doesn't have a problem. Man is a problem. You know the difference? I've met people that have some problems. I can deal with that. I've met other people, they just are a problem. Y'all didn't like it the second time. There's things in man's heart, till he is willing to eradicate those things from heart and replace them with God's Word, he's not going to change the real issues of his life. And that applies to us in here. Now write these passages down. It's just a couple. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So see, the condition of your heart affects your life. Affects your whole life. Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. He sows it in the man's heart. And man brings forth a harvest out of his heart. It all starts in the heart. Unless the word gets in your heart tonight, I can't help you. I can encourage you a little bit. I can I can, especially corporately when we get together and we're believing God and there's always excitement in this house and life and joy, you can get relief coming to church, but you can't get delivered. And a lot of people really just want relief, and that's why they'll just go to church 6 days a week if they could just to get relief, but they don't want to be changed. God doesn't just want to bring you relief. He wants to set you free. So Proverbs 23:7, Mark chapter 4. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Affects your health. It's good to laugh. So that means a lot of people got to quit church. Church is killing them. Church is killing them. Because you can't laugh at church. You can't laugh at yourself. Can't laugh at the preacher. I prefer we maintain that rule. I just refuse to quit laughing. Because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It affects me. It affects my system. It affects your blood. It affects the chemicals in your brain. Literally affects the chemicals in your brain. You watch people who don't laugh, you just watch their health just decline and decay. Their skin just gets wrinkly and old. They just look like a worn out shoe. Ugly. I mean, you know, sin will make you ugly. Sin will make you ugly. I've met some people, some good sinners. I mean, they are ugly. All right, write this down. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Paul was called a chosen vessel of God. Now, before I go any further, we are vessels of God. We are vessels for the Lord's glory, for the Lord's presence. God created you and He created me to be a vessel. What's a vessel? A vessel is a container and an expressor of something. Vessels are to put something in. And God's will for man, God's will for me, God's will for you is that we be containers and expressors of His glory. Of His glory. Man was crowned when God created the first man with glory and honor. Whose glory was He crowned with? Not His own, the glory of the Lord. So see, I'm a container. You're a container. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, it says, in the house of God there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. So see, I'm either going to be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, we have this heavenly treasure, talking about Jesus, in earthen vessels. We are vessels. Now, believe it or not, we are weaker vessels than we think we are. We're weaker containers than we think we are. We're fragile. We're weak after the flesh. And see, what happens is, God's will is that we be a whole vessel, a healed vessel. What for? So we can just feel good? So we can just look good? No. So we can be a container and an expressor of His glory. So we can take Him everywhere we go and just be overflowing with the life of God, with the love of God, with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But see, what happens is, because we don't know how to manage our lives, we don't know how to guard and keep our hearts, we get broken of heart. We get smashed. We get bruised. We get wounded deeply. And you don't realize now you're a cracked vessel. And so God can pour His life into you, but it'll just leak out. I want you to think about this for a minute. I can look at my life and I can remember this. When the Lord showed me this, I saw it in my own life. Then I was able to look at people around me and things begin to make sense to me that had confused me most of my life. And that is this. I would see people and I would do the same thing as I looked back again and the Lord showed me this. I could recall how that I would get in the presence of God. I would get in a move of God. I would be a part of a revival, let's say. Or a company of people like yourself where you can just sense the presence of the Lord when you walk in here. I mean, this place just is alive. And so you come and all of a sudden you feel better. All of a sudden, you feel peace. All of a sudden, it's like, man, God is real, and I know Him. He knows me. I'm excited about the Lord. And I mean, before I get home, I'm in the Mully Grubs. At church, things are going good. I feel good. I feel good. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. I mean, we're dancing, we're shouting, we're hollering, glory to God. Hallelujah, I'm going to take the world for Jesus. And I can't take the back roads home, I'm so messed up, at the end of the service. See, God would be pouring into me because he loves me. But if I'm cracked, if I'm bruised, if I'm smashed inside like a pot that's cracked, you pour the water in it, you can pour and pour and pour and it just leaks out. It's like in a church. The Holy Spirit can begin to move, and in here, it's real, it's powerful, and it's like it's filling the aisles because it's going into you and out. Yes. So when you leave, the glory stays here. So we come back to get the glory. And we get the glory, and we feel good. We dance, we prance, we holler, we shout, love you, brother. And I mean, before we get home, we're on the cell phone gossiping. You done leaked out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you can get all bent out of shape doctrinally, what's he really talking about? And then you can get real and think for a minute, wait a minute, I've had experiences like that in my own life where I just couldn't contain and retain what God was saying to me and what God was doing. Yes. It's like I go to a meeting and I get it, I got it, I'm ready, and 2 days later I've lost it. Yeah. What's wrong? Something's wrong in my heart. Yeah. I'm broken in my heart. Write down Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be not drunk on wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, when you're filled with the Spirit, how many of you know that goes into the heart? Filled with the Spirit has to do with my heart. And when I'm filled, I'm overflowing. See, you can't get filled with the Spirit and not overflow, because you don't get filled to feel good. You don't feel good for selfish reasons or filled for selfish reasons. God fills me with the Holy Spirit for a purpose, and it's not for chicken skin. And it's not for selfish gain. I'm filled with the Spirit to overflow on others. And so when I'm filled and my vessel's whole, I'm filled and what comes out of my mouth? Songs and hymns and spiritual songs and blessings and encouragement. I love you, brother. But see, when the glory leaks, I'm that smoking flax. And I know people that for 15 years, like a vicious cycle of being filled, having that peace, that relief, walk right out the door. And because they refuse to deal with their hearts. They refuse to deal with the past and brokenness and things that have gone wrong and people that have hurt them and life that's hurt them. They think that stuff's just going to go away. Time will heal. Let me tell you something. Time does not heal all things. There are some things there's not enough time within eternity to heal it. You can't ignore it. You're going to have to get healed of it. You're going to have to come to the Lord with it. You're going to have to confess it. You're going to have to repent for unforgiveness. Because a lot of times when you get hurt, it's like a crack in your heart. That's where the unforgiveness, like a weed, gets in there. And if it takes root long enough, it turns into a root of bitterness. Before you know it, things are coming out your mouth that are not right. In Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about and be filled with the Spirit, the idea in the Greek is be filled and filled and filled and filled. Why do we have to be filled and continue to be filled? Because we leak. Somebody help me. Am I the only one that leaks? Sometimes I leak. I need a dose of the ghost. I mean, I'm down in the molly grubs. I'm tripping over my lip. I've let something get in my heart. I've let the burden of the world, the cares of this life, get in my heart. And I got to be filled and refilled. Got to get that junk out and come and focus on Jesus. Again, he says, behold the servant of the Lord. If you've been broken, if you know people that are broken, don't take them to a program. Don't take them to church. Don't take them to religion. Take them to Jesus. We need to take people to Jesus. Because if we get Jesus to people and we get people to Jesus that are broken, he'll heal them. The anointing will heal them deep in heart. And they'll be a container and an expressor of the glory of God. And if you are burned out, if you have gotten so involved in the work of the kingdom that you lost your passion and your zeal, you too can come back unto Jesus. You too can focus back on Jesus. And I'm telling you, the winds of the Spirit will blow on the coals in your spirit. Because I don't care how bruised you are, broken you are, or how much of a smoking flax, burned out you are of soul, of that part of your heart. There's a fire in your spirit that the Holy Spirit can blow upon and quicken that fire in your soul, quicken that fire back again in your mind, get you focused back on Jesus instead of religion, get you focused on reality in Him, not rituals around you, and I mean resurrect that life on the inside of you. Before you know it, you're out there tackling people at the 7-Eleven trying to get them saved. Amen? Amen. I like that. I told God a long time ago, I'm not going to pastor the frozen chosen. If I got to resurrect the church every service to get something done, I quit. I'm going to go do something else. Yes. I like to pastor people on fire. Amen. That have got so much zeal, they need some wisdom, and I need to go, now, darling, your heart was right, but don't tackle them at 7-Eleven and get on top of them telling them they need Jesus. Honey, your heart's right, but when you visit the hospital, don't drag them out of the bed telling them they're healed with tubes hanging out their nose. Yes. We got to wait on God. We got to use some wisdom. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's what I want to pastor. It's people that are whole and people that are aflame and ablaze for Jesus. And then I want to maintain a heart, though, when the broken come in, we don't despise them.
Right.
When the smoking flax come to church, we don't disdain them. But that we have an anointing on us, all of us,
Amen.
To heal the brokenhearted. Amen?
Yes.
Need to come back and we're gonna learn about this. Amen?
Yes.
Was you blessed?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Let's stand.